Not everything was grim on Golden Radio. The unexpected was the rule, for everything was done live, not pre-recorded. And here's Jack Benny back to tell you of some of the lighter moments in the news.
Yes, Frank, there have been flubs throughout radio's history. The most famous occurred when announcer Harry Bonzel introduced President Herbert Hoover like this. The next voice you will hear will be that of the President, Hubert Heaver.
That was a classic, of course. And Lowell Thomas told me of a moment on his famous news commentary.
Yes, Lowell sent us a recording of that program. It seems that announcer Hugh James smiled at the right moment during the broadcast. This is the result, just as it was broadcast.
Well, Alice was thinking for us. Phil Harris, the band leader, she explains that working so hard all day in the film studio, she is sometimes not in such perfectly good humor. And she snaps about me. Which is all wrong. To which I say, you're all for us. And I leave the rest of it to you.
Lowell, tomorrow's the 1st of May. That means that summertime is rushing toward us. And when hot weather gets here, it puts an added responsibility on the oil that's in your motor. For then the oil must do three things. It must help keep your motor clean, must keep it well lubricated, and must help carry off excess heat. And for years, Sunoco Oil has been doing all three of these things. Now Lowell Thomas says,
so long until tomorrow.
This program came to you from New York.
The news itself had its lighter side, Frank. One of the finest newsmen on the American Broadcasting Company staff was Julian Anthony. And he, too, made a kind of history one evening. Julian gave us special permission to play this tape. I think it's probably one of the genuinely funniest moments ever to be broadcast.
In the wonder world of science, uranium has been discovered a few hundred yards from the White House and nearly 300 feet up. It's in the granite of the Washington Monument, but not valuable or dangerous. Back here in New York, the Hayden Planetarium has heard from a Minnesota man who claims that the shape of Aurora Borealis, the northern lights, can be changed by flapping a bedsheet at them from the ground. The planetarium doubts it, but the man says he did successfully flap sheets in his backyard one midnight, though his wife kept hollering at him to cut out the foolishness and get back in the house. This is Julian Anthony reporting.
Yes, even the very best in the business were caught up by the unexpected.
You mentioned earlier that radio had perfected the variety show format. But, Jack, I bet you didn't know that way back in 1925, radio station WGBS in New York came up with this brand new idea, a real variety show in a minstrel version. I think you'll enjoy listening to Daley Paskman's minstrels just as they were then.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? We have the pleasure of bringing to you the happy and highly popular Daley Paskman Radio Minstrels. The old-time minstrels have assembled here to bring back to your memory those golden tunes and mirth-provoking jokes of minstrel days gone by, recalling songs and jokes you forgot to remember. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, to the opening of our minstrel show by the entire company. Gentlemen, be seated. Those two incomparable end men, Mr. Bones on my right and Mr. Tambo on my left. Good evening, Mr. Bones. How did you like the singing?
Oh, brother, that singing was just wonderful.
You know, singing is their hobby.
Their what?
Their hobby.
What do you call a hobby?
Why, Mr. Bones, a hobby is anything a man gets his greatest pleasure out of. I see you don't understand, so I'll try and explain. Now, for instance, my hobby is singing. Another man's hobby may be dancing. Another man may like to tinker with machinery. Another man may like to rake the garden. That's his hobby.
Yes, everybody has a hobby.
That's right. Everybody has a hobby. And what is your hobby?
Women!
Now, Mr. Bones, didn't I understand you to say you were a married man?
Yes, I'm married, but that ain't no hobby.
Grand finale by the entire company.
Jack, radio allowed us to fill in the details with the magic paintbrush of imagination. I wonder if that's the reason that radio was able to capture pathos on a scale far more personal than television or even the motion picture.
Yes, radio let the listener add something of himself to every broadcast. I remember two broadcasts from the Yankee Stadium in New York that are as vivid as though I heard them yesterday.
You're probably thinking of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and the strange fate that entwined their destinies. Both were great names in baseball. Both played for the New York Yankees. They even tried their hand at a radio show.
Hey, Babe, you've taken off a lot of weight in the past few years.
Look at my figure, kid.
All you've got to do now is to diet for 10 or 15 more years, and you'll almost look human.
Boy, I'm careful of what I eat these days.
Listen, Babe, you have a farm where you grow your own food, don't you?
Yes, I have a farm.
What do you raise there?
Lots of things. Celery, for instance.
Really? You raise celery?
Of course. Why the surprise?
I thought Colonel Rupert was the fellow that always raised your celery.
I said celery, not salary.
As radio performers, they were great baseball players. I think a golden moment of radio touched with rare emotion was that afternoon at Yankee Stadium when Babe Ruth said goodbye to his fans. Every seat in the giant stadium was filled. The great Babe was dying of throat cancer.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. You know this baseball game of ours comes up from the youth. That means the boy. And if you're a boy and grow up to know how to play ball, then you come to the boys you see representing themselves today in your national pastime. The only real game, I think, in the world, baseball.
And it was only a few years later that another sorrowing crowd filled Yankee Stadium. This time, it was to say so long to Lou Gehrig, for he was fatally ill and had not long to live.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Jack, I don't think pictures would have helped either scene. I know that when I listened, I could picture easily those two men dwarfed by the immensity of the stadium. Yet their words were big and clean and brave.
For sheer unabashed sentimentality, radio certainly was the winner, hands down. It could deliver a message that stayed with its listeners. For many years, Amos and Andy's Christmas show included this sequence, and certainly it contained the essence of love.
Daddy, can I turn on the little radio for a minute before I go to sleep?
Well, just for a minute or two, darling. I'll snap it on for you. There he is. Now, we let it warm up a few seconds. We don't want to wake up baby.
Oh, music never wakes him up, Daddy.
Well, let me straighten your covers out a little bit. Did you say your prayers, honey?
Mommy heard my prayers before she went out, Daddy.
The Christmas choir continues with the Lord's Prayer.
Well, now, get under the covers, honey.
Daddy, could you get some Christmas music on the radio?
Why, darling, this is the very best Christmas music you could get. They're going to sing the Lord's Prayer.
I've been saying the Lord's Prayer with Mommy. She's been teaching it to me.
I know she is.
What does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
It means an awful lot, and with the world like it is today, it seems to have a bigger meaning than ever before.
But what does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
The Lord's Prayer? Well, darling, I'll explain it to you.
Oh, will you, Daddy?
Now, you lay down and you listen.
All right.
Now, the first line of the Lord's Prayer is this. Our Father, which art in heaven, that means Father of all that is good, where no wrong can dwell. And then it says, hallowed be thy name. That means, darling, that we should love and respect all that is good. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. That means, darling, as we clean our hearts of all hate and selfishness and fill our hearts with love, the good, the true, and the beautiful, then earth will be like heaven.
That would be wonderful, Daddy.
Give us this day our daily bread. That means to feed our hearts and minds with kindness, love, and courage, which will make us strong for our daily tasks. And after that, the next line says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You remember the golden rule, honey?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, that means that we must keep the golden rule and do unto others as we would want others to do unto us.
Oh.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That means, my darling, to ask God to help us do and see and think right so that we will neither be led or tempted by anything that's bad. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That means, darling, that all the world and everything that's in it belongs to God's kingdom. Everything. Your mommy, your daddy, your little brother, your grandma, you and everybody. And as we know that and act as if we know it, that, my dear girl, is the real spirit of Christmas.
That's good, Daddy.
I know that the old must give way to the new, that progress and technological improvement must bring change. But I do think that something good was lost when radio tipped its hat to television.
Yes, Frank, I think you're right.
Jack, our deepest thanks for your help and guidance in compiling this living memory book. It's been a wonderful and sentimental journey. and you and I have shared our fondest memories of radio with our listeners, and perhaps we've helped them to rekindle the memory of beloved friends, and especially the warmth of a family sharing imaginations together. Now we invite you to gather your family and friends around you and enjoy the special full-length Arch Obler drama On the Final Side of This Treasury. This is Frank Knight speaking to you, as I have done these many years, on behalf of the Longines Symphonette.